Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. If you're here and have your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll get into that. We finished out Hebrews chapter 11, and it's often known as the Hall of Faith. And we're now moving on to the application, not just from the Hall of Faith, but to the Hall or from the Hall of Faith. But what should we do based on these people and what we saw in their faith? What should we do? This author of Hebrews is basically giving a message that says that's saying something to his congregation, these people that are Jews that are probably scattered abroad or at least in a church that maybe are falling away. And that he said, look at all these people that had faith. And then he's going to give us an application here in 12, 1 through 3, and continue on that application and tell us to look to Jesus, continue running the race, continue having faith. And we'll look at that today. Just imagine, though, if I was going to tell you something, and you probably would not believe it, and I wouldn't either, but in 2020, there's going to be Olympics in the summer, and those are going to be in Tokyo, the Tokyo Olympics. And imagine I said to you, I am going to run a marathon in the Olympics for the U.S. in Tokyo. Now, you would laugh, you know, whatever. There you go. You would realize I'm not a runner, okay? And I would have to realize a few things, right? I would realize I'm running in the Olympics for my country. This has a ton of history, a ton of meaning, and ton of importance. Second, I would need to prepare myself physically in a lot of ways. I would need to stop eating the things I'm eating and probably start running a lot more than I'm doing right now. And I would also need to determine what my goal is. What is my goal? Simply to make the Olympics, to just finish the race, or am I actually going for gold? And once I've realized what my setting is, what I need to do to get there, and what I'm looking for, this gold, that would help me accomplish what I'm doing. At least I could see the progress I'm making along these ways. Fortunately, I don't have to do that. But we are Paul and many of the New Testament writers often talk about races and different athletic events. And here, very clearly, we start to see a very clear picture of a race. So look at Hebrews 12, verse 1 through 3, and I'll read those and you can follow along. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured for sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer before we continue in this. Father, give us wisdom to study and to know the Word of God well. Help me to preach clearly the things from the Word of God. I pray that you would empower me with the Holy Spirit to deliver a message that is according to what you would have. Lord, I pray that you would help us to keep our eyes focused on Jesus, to run this race of life, and know that we can do this for your glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's going to be three different things that we're going to look at, three keys to help us run this race well. But there's a command in the end of verse 1. The command in the end of verse 1 that says, or that kind of talks about the event. The run, the race, and the pace is kind of talked about in these verses. The author says to us in the end of verse 1 of chapter 12, let us, we as believers, as Christians, people that are in this race, let us run, or let us keep on running. The thought here is that if you're in this race, you are a Christian, and you should continue running, and you should continue keeping up what you're doing. Continue living by faith and continue on. But there's also this idea of let us, helps us understand this is talking to believers, but also is helping those that understand that they're not Christians to say, hey, join us in this goal of pleasing God. Join us as we follow Christ. Most of us as Christians would say, yes, we understand this idea of running the race of the Christian life for Jesus Christ. But sometimes the word running would not very clearly describe what we're doing. Sometimes we're lagging behind, and sometimes we're letting sin or other things overtake us. The race as he says, talks about any kind of foot race or any kind of athletic event. The race, or the word here in the Greek, would be agon, or in some sense translates to the word agony today. And this race is done by actually working hard and doing things that are going to continue to help us following God. And it's actually told or said for us to run this race with endurance, the race that is set before us. This is sometimes translated patience, but a really good word for this is endurance, because it helps us know that we need to endure and persevere on this, in this life, continuing to follow God. And so we know that this race and this running that we're in is for God and for His glory, and we're doing this because He's commanded us to. It tells us, let us run and let us do this. So what do we have to do to understand how to live this life, how to run this race of for Christ and His glory? Well, look in verse 1. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, if others have lived by faith, so can we. There's other people, sometimes people look at this and say, there's a great cloud of witnesses, and people will think that this basically means there's a big group of people in the sky looking down on us and cheering us on. Now, that probably is not the best case to translate this. Actually, the word is actually witnesses. So there's a big group of witnesses looking, not looking down, but that have actually said, I have done this, you can do this before. And this goes along with verse or chapter 11 very clearly. These people have done this. You've seen their testimony of faith. They're witnesses of living a life of faith. They've done it. You can also live this life of faith. There's probably not a lot of spectators looking down from heaven, watching us and doing that. They have actually got something better to do. They actually have Jesus Christ in their presence, and they worship Him. And so this idea of spectators is probably better to actually think of. These are witnesses, and we've seen what has been done in the past, so we know we can do this in the future. But we talk about this, and we see that this is from Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the evidence of things not seen. And these witnesses are those things that we don't see. In some sense, we don't see all these people that have gone before. They've been described in chapter 11. We've looked at all these people that have gone before, but we can't actually see their life now. But they are witnesses, and we understand by faith they have done this, and by faith we can also live this life for God. There's many people that have run this race and have lived this life on this earth for God's glory, and they have successfully finished the course, and they've successfully finished and obeyed God all the way to the end, and they've trusted Him by faith. Sometimes we can think about people that will drop out of a race, and I don't believe in any case this is talking about a person can lose their salvation. But when you've probably seen this, people will sometimes go along acting like they've trusted Christ, and they live a little bit, a life that looks like they've lived by faith, and then they turn away. To those people, we would say, I'm not sure of their salvation. And this passage is calling them back. Look, run your race, run this life by faith, continued on for all of your life. And to help us understand this, we need to realize this is a much bigger race. This is a much bigger importance than a simple schoolyard race. I sometimes will ask my boys, guys, what did you do today at recess? And they'll tell me they played tag, they did different things, and they'll sometimes talk about a race in the schoolyard, and they'll say that they race, and I'll say who's the fastest one in your class, and they've got them all ranked out, right? They've got all the kids how fast they are, and so we've got all that clarified. And you think about that race, and you compare it to the Olympics, right? That schoolyard race happens all the time. The Olympics happens every 4 years. And as important as it seems like to those guys in that playground, it's really not as big a scale as the one in the Olympics, right? That's run once every 4 years, and for lifelong fame for those people. I think one of the things that this writer in Hebrews is trying to help us understand is that this race that we're in, the Christian life, running by faith, it is of extreme importance that we continue on in faith, following God. Sometimes as Christians, we take lightly the things of God. We don't think that this is actually that important. But to show us the importance of this, it actually goes on farther in verse 2 or verse 1. It says, "Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely." The next point would be, discipline yourselves to live an unhindered life of faith. Discipline yourself to live an unhindered life of faith. This is the idea. This race is so important. This living this life for God's glory is so important that God actually tells us how to do this in these verses. He says, first, live an unhindered life by laying aside every weight. This is probably talking about how these people in the Greek world would run races. They would actually rid themselves of everything they could to run this race fast. And you see this even in the Olympics. They wear very tight clothes. They try to run as fast as they can. And sometimes you wonder if they maybe should be wearing more. But whatever you're thinking, you realize they're not running with a lead jacket, right? If I said, hey, let's have a race after church, I would probably shed this jacket, right? I'd get rid of that, and you'd start to put on running shoes. You would get to be ready for running a race. And this is very clearly what God's talking about here. Get yourself unhindered from the things that weigh you down. The things that are in your life that are weighing you down to stop or slow you down from running the race for God, those things need to be eliminated from your life. Lay them aside. Move them aside. There's lots of things in this world that are not sinful. And even in this verse, it says, lay aside every weight and sin. Every weight is talking about things that may not actually be inherently sinful. Many of us own houses. We own cars. We might even own a TV. Many of us go on vacations. We have hobbies. We enjoy playing sports. You have a job that you may love or may not. You enjoy having family time. And none of those things are inherently evil. None of those things are problematic until they become problematic. None of those possessions are not wrong until possessions begin to possess us. When possessions start to own us, and we say our life is about things, our life is about other things besides Christ, those are things that start to become every weight that hinders and slows us down. I'd encourage you to even think, considering this verse, what are the things that are burdening my life that are not allowing me to go run this race for Christ unhindered? What are the things that may not even be sinful, but you know what? They're distracting me from living for God. And I think if we're very honest with ourselves, we could probably come up with a list of a few things. What does it say here? Lay those aside. Get rid of the things that are weighing us down. It says then, the sin which clings so closely. All sin is terrible. All sin is missing the mark. All sin is disobedience to God. But there's sin that's very clearly, or sin does very clearly hinder us from living for God's glory. This is more than just those weights that are laying us down. This is actually sin that is causing us to stumble. It's the idea of something that actually entangles a runner. When they're running, it trips them up. Somebody puts something on the course, whether it be a rope or whatever it is, it snares them, it makes them stumble, and it causes them to slow down or actually fall down and have to struggle to get back up. 1 Corinthians says something like this in 1 Corinthians 10:12. It says, "Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall." A Christian is at great risk when we think that we're doing good, when we think that we're doing great, and then we run and we get tripped up, sometimes by sin. Sometimes that can actually be the sin of pride, because we sometimes think, I am doing such a good job living as a Christian. If these other people would just live a Christian life like me, they would all be winning this race and doing a wonderful job. And you've missed the whole point. Have you ever seen a video of a racer that's running, or maybe on a bike, and they put their hands up right as they're about to cross the finish line, 50 yards from the finish line? They've ran all this way. They're in first place. And as they put their hands up and slow down and they start cheering and looking at the crowd, second place just became first place, passing them up, right? Take heed, therefore, let anyone thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Be careful when you start to think, I'm doing a pretty good job. I've got everything altogether. God could use more people like me. That's pride. That's sin. And that's something that's going to be weighing us down. When your mind is always focused on, I wish this person was here in this auditorium to hear this message. Or you're always thinking, I hope this other person in this auditorium is hearing this message. This verse is talking about you. He thinks he stands. Take heed lest he fall. Pride can often be the thing that makes us stumble. It could be other things that are sins. In a room like this, we could list off a million sins, and they would all hit someone, right? And we could shotgun blast out a lot of words and sins. You know what? Every one of us knows the things that we struggle with. And I encourage you, think about what it is. Lay aside the weight. Get off the sin. Get rid of the thing. It says, the sin which clings so closely, things that are like tight and bind us down. Those sins that are in your life, think about those now. Even pray as we're in this message and say, Lord, help me to remove those from my life. Help my life to be one that's run all out for God all the time, not with the things weighing us down. And you may be looking at that and you may be thinking, you know what? It's really tough to run this race. It's actually almost impossible. I keep stumbling. I keep sinning. I keep having things that hinder me and weigh me down. And it's really, really tough to actually run this race for Christ, to live for His glory. And you know what? That's where verse 2 comes in verse 3. And it's an encouragement for those that are discouraged. Those that are Christians that are discouraged and have an attitude that think, I can't do this. There's never any chance that I can actually succeed. You're cast down, you're discouraged. And the verse in verse 2 really has this idea of look up. Point 3, focus on Christ, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Verse 2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint hearted. Are you ever cast down? Do you ever think, you know what? I do struggle with pride. I do struggle with these sins. And you constantly struggle and you think there's no hope. This verse is saying two things. Look up. Focus on Him. Turn your eyes on Him so that you can see Him clearly, to lay aside everything else. Stop being cast down because you can look to Jesus. Keep your eyes focused on Him. We think about this idea very clearly of focusing on Jesus. It's just like a runner in a race that takes his eyes off the path, that runs to the wrong, takes the wrong route. Or to looks to the side and falls off the edge and has to get back started. When you're looking and you have a proper focus, it's so much easier to run that race clearly. It's so much easier to see that goal. How do we do that, or why do we do that? Well, we look up so we're not discouraged. We look at Him so we're not distracted. And it's His example that we see. In verse 2 it says, the founder and perfecter of our faith. It's His example as the founder of our faith. In one sense, very real, a real sense, all these people in chapter 11 that we talked about, Moses, Noah, even Adam, and we talk about Seth and these different things, talk about all these people in chapter 11, they were actually looking towards a promise. And it's actually Jesus that they're looking for. They may not have understood the whole idea of the Messiah completely, but I believe they very clearly had faith in the promise that God was going to reward them. And so very clearly, Jesus is the founder of the faith for all people at all times that have trusted God. Jesus Christ is the founder. But yet, I also believe this word, this idea of the founder and perfecter of our faith, this is the idea that Jesus Christ is the chief example of living a life of faith. Hebrews 4:15 says this. At the end of the verse, it says, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. We know that Christ, this high priest, ran this race. He was perfected without sin. He obeyed God by faith, and he never failed. We have a perfect example of what he did. In fact, he very clearly followed God's will. In John 5:30, it says, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Christ followed God's will no matter what it was. Even in Matthew 26:39, it says, "And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.'" Christ is the chief example of living a life of faith. We looked in all of chapter 11, all these people that lived and looked towards this life of this person, this Messiah. And then all of a sudden, Christ lives this perfect life. He is the chief example of living by faith. He finished our faith. He's the beginner or the author of our faith, the founder. He also perfects our faith. And we think about John 19:30 on the cross, Jesus Christ says, "It is finished." And we realize that Jesus made this faith complete. We talk about in Colossians 2:10, it talks about being the faith being complete in him. And when we sit here and struggle and we realize that sin is overtaking us, we need to turn our eyes on Jesus. We look to him and say, "Lord, I can't do this on my own. I have faith that you will help me through this time in my life." It says in chapter 12 or verse 2 in Hebrews, it says, "For the joy that was set before him." What joy is this? It's at the very end of that verse. It's for the joy of being seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And what did he do? He endured the cross. He despised the shame. He took on himself the sin of the world and died a terrible death for us. The very people that he came to save were the very people that were crucifying him. Matthew 27:39-44 says this, "And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, 'You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross.' So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, 'He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.' And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way." Christ endured the shame, the suffering, the death that we are owed for our sin. If you're here today and you're thinking, I know I can't do this on my own, the reason is it's because it's based on the work, the finished work of Jesus Christ. So when you say, "I can't run this race, I keep failing." True, right? Continue, get up, but actually put your faith, your foundation in Jesus Christ, the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. Sometimes we think of this idea, "Oh, I'm so glad that I loved God first." Right? It wasn't because of us. It was all because of him. Christ endured. He died for you and me. And he did that, and that's grace to us. How can this be true? You may be thinking, I don't believe this. How can I actually trust that Christ died and rose again? You know those two words at the very beginning that we keep, or that of chapter 11 that we keep seeing over and over? By faith, by faith, by faith. Oftentimes we look for proof. We want some kind of proof that's hard evidence that we say, "There is, I see it, I can hold it." And yet we're like Thomas and saying, "If I don't see him, I'm not going to believe." And God's given the word of God and he says, "By faith, trust me, follow me." What is our responsibility? It says, consider him in chapter 3. Consider him who endured this. Don't grow weary. Don't grow faint hearted. When a person starts to fall away from God, when they start to get weary, what is our job? We put our eyes on Christ. And if you're here and you know a brother or sister in Christ that's falling away, what do? You come alongside of them, you help them up, and you say, "Look towards Christ. It is God that is going to give you the victory." But think of how Christians are. We often say, "My job's not paying me what I should get. I can't read the Bible. It's too difficult. I don't have time to do it. I'm a bad parent. My ministry is not effective. People don't like me." Whatever it is, we continually have a discouraged, weary, faint-hearted attitude. And the whole point of this verse is saying, no, consider him. Look at Christ. You are going to fail. You're going to struggle with sin. It's very clear even from verse 1. It says, lay aside every weight. Lay aside these sins. You're going to struggle with sin. Fight that fight. Fight against the sin that's weighing you down. Get it away from you. But you also know that you can look to Christ because He has won the victory. You may be discouraged. You may be growing weary. You may be getting to the point in your life at an age and say, you know what, I don't know if I can actually keep fighting this fight well. This verse is saying, don't grow weary. Look to Jesus. You may be young and being distracted and saying, man, I've been overburdened with so many things. So many things are weighing me down. The things of this world are actually calling out my name. Sin is actually pulling at me. Look to Christ. Turn to Him. Ask Him for forgiveness of your sins. Cast off those things and say, I'm going to run to Christ. These verses could just be summed up in some sense. Keep running. Keep going. Because Jesus is enough. In a moment, we'll sing the song, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And as we sing that song, pray in your own hearts, Lord, how can I get rid of the things in my life that are weighing me down? And Lord, as I'm weary and tired, help me to look at You and endure. Because this is of uttermost importance that we rely on Christ for all things and that we run this race like He's commanded us to. And we follow Him. We keep running. We keep going because Jesus is enough. So run with your eyes focused on Christ. Let's pray.